Okay. Well, something's going to happen. Either more people will show up or they're off with the kids. They want to go horseback riding.
We have in our midst someone who has not chanted before, or has not been, two people who have not chanted before. And so, we adjusted the schedule accordingly. We just, the schedule says one thing, and what we're going to do now is, wherever my schedule is, tools for enhancing japa. I thought I would start even putting in something else a little more creative, and that is amplifying the mood of making improvement with the mood of a beginner, entering into the retreat in the mood of a beginner. Besides, we have a couple of beginners. We should all enter into that mood. So, I'm going to invoke some of the writings of our acharyas to help us enter into that mood of a beginner at the beginning of our retreat. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that beginning of spiritual life is like awakening from a dream. Material life is like the dream, and beginning of spiritual life is like awakening from a dream, and awakening from a dream can be a little disorienting. Here's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes. At the beginning stage of the path of spiritual life, at that time the awakened soul says, in effect to the mind and body, I am not identical with you. I do not want what you require. I have long believed that I was identical with both of you and that we shared the same interests. But now, I find that I am categorically different from you. I am made holy from the principle of self-consciousness while both of you are made of dead matter. I refuse to be slave anymore. So we know what would happen, so we declare our independence from Maya. She doesn't let us slip away so easily. In fact, it's like Prabhupada likens, the prisoner that tries to escape from prison. What happens? Extra surveillance. Double guards, triple guards, round-the-clock surveillance. No escape. So during that beginner's phase of spiritual path, so much support is needed so that reassurance, guidance, strength, wisdom, feeling cared for, receiving that care, very, very important during that beginning person's stage, because there's this divided condition of mind. The divided condition of mind says, there are these things that I hold to be true, and I hold to be of great value, just like we heard some of these very nice sankalpas. That's what's in the core of the heart, or getting closer to the core of the heart at least. And then there's this other thing that goes on, and that's what our material conditioning says. And the mind, the materially conditioned mind, is very strong. So it's like a tug of war. Sometimes this side is pulling more strongly, sometimes that side is pulling more strongly. And this newly found will to go to the spiritual side, to break out of the, like Prabhupada's very beautiful poetic language, everyone desires to be free, to roam about without any restriction, and to experience all varieties of wonderful experiences. The unfettered soul has that, we all have that desire, but we're all bound. So this newfound will has its opposition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that condition in his very wonderful language. And this is from Bhakti Viveka. Alas, how unfortunate I am. Much of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing is pervaded by this mood of humility we heard last night in the wonderful bhajans that were sung. Dainya, this mood of, I know what is the right thing, but I'm way over here. How unfortunate I am. Having fallen into this insurmountable ocean of material existence, I'm being thrown here and there by the violent waves of my wicked desires. I cry miserably at my helpless condition. But I do not see any hope for being saved. What should I do? How will I be delivered? I do not see any solution to my dilemma. Alas, alas, I am most unfortunate. Take me to you, my Lord. Take me up to the shade of the cool dust of your lotus feet. Oh, have mercy on this wretched self. So this divided self on the beginner's stage requires this inviting. Calling to Krishna, please deliver this fallen soul. I recognize my condition. I recognize the goal. I recognize the means, but I'm too weak. My strongly driven material desires are, and conditioned tendencies are just nonstop. I can't stop them. Please. So, a rendering of the fifth Shikshastakam verse, that's different than how Prabhupada has translated it, but it's another translation that's very nice, is as follows. Oh, son of Nanda, Krishna, king of the country of love, I appeal for your affection. I'm your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you. But somehow I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies within me trying to take me away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. At the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are my master. You are all and everything to me. My heart will never be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I'm in unfavorable circumstances. I'm suffering. And without your grace, I do not find any relief from my present imprisoned condition. So the beginner's mood is like this. Conditioned tendencies, the spiritual urge. And the spiritual urge is not sufficiently strong, it's not sufficiently mature, it's covered, it's overgrown by other things. And I appeal, so this is the seeking, this is the pilgrim, seeking to connect with something deeper, more profound, that we know within our heart of hearts is what we really want, and it's our real shelter. So the touchstone of the holy name is what we're reaching out to. And the holy name of Krishna, something that's also very mysterious, the holy name of Krishna is even more merciful than Krishna, although the holy name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. So there's a contradiction. The holy name of Krishna is none different than Krishna, and the holy name of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna. More merciful in this sense that, as Mahaprabhu describes, he makes approach to him so easy. To see the form of Krishna, what qualification must one have? But to chant the name of Krishna, anyone can chant the name of Krishna. Except that we have no attraction. But he makes approach to him so easy. I read one verse. I find it a little oddly enough from Agni Purana, because Agni Purana also describes the glories of the holy name in a very beautiful way. So this is, someone was saying in their sankalpa they'd like to appreciate the real meaning and experience it of the holy name. So here's Agni Purana describing. The name of Krishna is purely spiritual. There is no knowledge as great as that of the name, and no practice of austerity or meditation, no result of spiritual activity, no form of renunciation, no act of sense control, no pious act, and no goal that can match it. The name is the supreme liberation, the supreme destination, the supreme peace. The name is eternal life itself. The name is the supreme devotion and the supreme intelligence. The name is the supreme love and the supreme remembrance. The name is the soul's reason for existence. The name is the Lord of the soul, the most worshipful object, and the supreme guru. So, with that, we'll go into our tools for concentration upon the holy name. And I think I'll start with doing what we're doing right now, coming together, centering around the holy name. The fire of the Sangha of devotees makes for a big blaze in the experience of the holy name. Bhakti Dave, over here, experienced our chanting of japa together for the first time, that kind of a setting. And with his permission, I'm going to share with you what he experienced. He experienced something that was likened to like an energy field or cloud of Krishna's presence. And he felt it. And it started expanding, and then after some time, as the devotees went out of cadence and started walking around, drifting around, that energy field subsided and wasn't the same experience. Or we had a Nama Yajna in Chicago with Vadahari, and what the experiment was, or the exercise was, he sat right in the middle of the temple room floor with the deities here and Prabhupada there, and you know, facing to the side, and it wasn't like, it was all around, just as long as our backs weren't to the Vyasa-san, because Prabhupada's Vyasa-san is very high. And everyone was told to get in closer, get in closer, it's a fire, we want fire. And then he described this calling to Lord Nityananda. Let us, as we're chanting, call to Lord Nityananda to deliver into our assembly the pure holy name. And he took one melody and chanted one melody for nearly 3 hours. And six people voluntarily told me afterwards what their experience was, and it was very much like Bhaktadeva's experience. He said, they said initially they weren't into it. It's just like, what's going on here? But within 10 minutes, seemed like within pretty much was the same response from or experience that was volunteered, they felt the pure holy name was descending upon the whole Yajna. And their hearts just opened, melted, and they began crying and crying and just experiencing emotions, and it wasn't those kinds of things that it comes and then it goes. It just kept on and on and on and on and on. Just sit down and have a kirtan and experience the presence of Krishna. By that prayer, here we are again. Reaching, calling, Krishna, please come. So there's some tools that will help us concentrate along with the Sangha of Vaishnavas and our magnifying glass. Our taking this energy of the brilliance of the holy name and focusing it through the lens of the mind upon the heart, and let the heart melt with the intensity of the holy name. So there are things that help, that tools for concentration. We're going to have a few exercises in the course of this, including half-hour japa together. So part of this is for tomorrow. We'll call it 64-round day. Some will be 32-round day, but we'll call it 64-round day. Amona Vrata day. And this is to help prepare you for that experience. In general, if you want to concentrate on the holy name also, your eating should be healthy eating. The body and the mind should be in good healthy condition. Eat healthy foods and not more than necessary. And fix the mind on what is the purpose I would like to accomplish. Reach inside the heart and what is that which I would like to accomplish. Be very clear. Something that I remember thousands of times in the course of every year is Prabhupada's statement, when a goal is very well defined, it's very easy to get there. Conversely, if a goal is not well defined, it's pretty tough to get there. I mean, imagine getting in your car and going for a ride, and somebody asks you, where are you going? I'm going for a ride. Where are you going? It's going for a ride. No particular place. It's going for a ride. I hope you get there. Get to Sharanagati. Once you know you want to go to the ride is to get to Sharanagati, then you get very specific directions and make sure you know where the japa sign is, and you turn there. You get there. The steps may be many, but you define the goal and then you can make progress towards the goal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught that progress is a series of small steps in the right direction. Progress is a series of small steps in the right direction. But you know what the goal is. So our sankalpa is, at least for this retreat, it's our goal. It's that which we're expecting. But it's expecting, not that we're going to create it, but it's something that we're looking for Krishna to reciprocate with us. So intention becomes fixed, helps concentration. Another thing for enhancing concentration on japa is when. So Brahma Muhurta hours in general is ideal. I was thinking this morning, you have really long Brahma Muhurta hours here, you know. When there's, it's technically, it's the sunrise, you go back 90 minutes, and it's 48 of those 90 minutes. And that's Brahma Muhurta. But you have this long time before the sun, it's still, there's some, like, dawn, but the sun hasn't come up yet. You must have great chanting here. At least an opportunity for great chanting here. But for the rest of us, this is ideal time, Brahma Muhurta, early in the morning, before the sun rises. And then through the atmosphere, we're getting support in our chanting. Just by making that commitment, taking a very good time. Another is pronunciation. We're going to have a little pronunciation exercise in a moment. But you should pronounce the syllables clearly. Instructions from Prabhupada include you should hear every syllable. Prabhupada said one should chant swiftly because by chanting swiftly it helps to capture the mind, but not so swiftly you can't hear every syllable. So, you ready for the pronunciation exercise?